Welcome back. Hello, everybody. We have a very exciting episode for you today. Today we have, hello, I am Kate.
Hi, I'm Kate.
Yay. That's not your line. You are a cosplayer, mm-hmm. but you also are now a voice actor.
Yeah.
Exciting. And have a background in acting. You do a bunch of stuff.
I do a bunch of stuff.
You do so much stuff.
Yeah. So,
we're going to talk about your stuff. Yay. Okay. We're going to start very generically. What got you into cosplay, but to go a little bit more exciting than just that, did you go to cons first or did you cosplay first?
I went to one con before I started cosplaying.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It was the Star Wars convention in Anaheim. I think that was late 2014 or early 2015.
Okay.
And then I went to Fanime 2015. And that was like my first proper con and I cosplayed.
Okay. So then did you know what cosplay was before you did the con? Or did you go to the con, see the cosplay and was like, I have to do the cosplay?
I was aware that it existed because mm-hmm. I was very much on Tumblr.
Okay.
There's like a lot of it all over Tumblr.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, man, this is so cool. But I'm not cool. And then uh-huh. I went to the Star Wars convention. I went to a panel for cosplay specifically there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I guess I'll try it.
Uh-huh. Fanime, I've never been. I've always wanted to go to Fanime.
Okay, we're going
to
go this year.
Crazy.
We're going to go this year. We have to go this year.
I want to. I think it might be. It's always on a weekend that I'm booked for something else.
It's like the last weekend of May.
I have to look, but I would like to go this year. Please take me with you. I want to go
this
year.
Me at you if you don't go.
Okay. No, Kate, come back. It's not goodbye. I am Kate. It's hello.
No, it's bye. It's deuces.
So then what was your first cosplay that you wore to Fanime?
The first cosplay I wore was Lucy from Elf and Lead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm very much into anime. I like horror and blood and guts a lot. So I was like, what if I did that? So
cute.
I did that weekend. I also did Batgirl. And
you did multiple costumes?
Yeah. Or yeah.
And for then, your first go?
And
That's
then I
crazy.
Also did Harley Quinn.
Oh my God. So did you make all of these things?
Yeah. It was like literally my first con. I was like, we're going to figure out how to sew and make armor out of EVA foam.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, how did it go?
Honestly, looking back at it now, I'm not upset. I made a whole bat cowl out of like the thin craft foam and it wasn't the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
Like patternless and everything? Because I feel like we didn't have resources like
No,
that
there were not
then.
Very many resources. I was on YouTube so much. I was just consuming any content that anyone had for making things.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a wig head and I taped it with like, I did like the tape and the like saran wraps and stuff. And then I cut it out to make a.
Yeah. That's so exciting. So then you had an amazing time.
Yeah,
I assume.
It was freaking awesome.
Yeah. And then the bug bit you and then you just continued. That's what happened to me.
Yeah. I didn't stop until my body was like, if you keep doing this, I'm going to kill you. So my brain was like, take a break.
Right. So then what made you want to go to the Star Wars convention then in the first place? Like what?
I love Star Wars.
Nerddoms led you to the Star Wars con?
I love Star Wars a lot, and it was a birthday gift that I got for the person that I was dating at the time. I was like, I'm going to take us to go do this.
Oh, fun. Mm-hmm. And then, so how did that go? You walked around?
Walked around. We saw, like, this really cool, like, I had never seen cosplay in person, and so just seeing, like, a whole Mandalorian, I was like, oh my God, stop. Sir, the helmet stays on.
And then you were like, I have to do this.
I have to do this. Yeah.
Amazing.
It was so cool. I mean, I'm a theater kid, obviously, like did a lot of theater growing up. So like I love costuming and like costumes and stuff. And before I knew what cosplay was, I was making really intense Halloween costumes. I made Ezio Auditore for Halloween one year.
Oh my God.
I made two of them for me and the person I was dating. We dressed up as assassins, and then it was at the time where in San Francisco the Giants had just won the World Series and they had a parade on Halloween, and so we went in the Assassin's Creed costumes and we were like going through the crowd.
You were like legit immersed. We were immersed. In the Assassin's Creed experience. Yeah.
Pre-cosplay, pre-knowing what cosplay was. I was just like, Halloween is fun.
Yeah. Did you jump off any roofs into any hay bales or anything?
Legally, I don't think I'm allowed to talk about that.
Okay. Nice. We'll let that go for now. So then that's how you got started into cosplay. Mm-hmm. You've been cosplaying ever since.
Yes.
So you love Star Wars. So what in your life, childhood-wise, like, developed you as a nerd? Like, how did you get into Star Wars and everything else?
Yeah, I think my parents.
Okay.
My parents were, like, always so supportive and also, like, pretty nerdy. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was young, my mom would take me to the local library, and she was, like, looking at VHS, and she was like, oh, this looks like a really cute cartoon. This is Sailor Moon.
Uh-huh.
And so I was hooked, mm-hmm. like immediately as a kid. And she would always take me to the library to see if there were new Sailor Moon episode VHSs.
Aww.
And then she would like record the VHS with another VHS player. So like we had the movies and stuff. She's oh my God.
Is that
literally rule breaking?
You yeah, I was gonna say Blockbuster's not a thing anymore.
No, it's
so
not.
It's okay, but
and so there's that. And then my mom also was like very into Knights of the Round Table and therefore Lord of the Rings. And uh-huh. so we would go to all the premieres and she'd be screaming Aragorn. I'd be like screaming Legolas. And then uh-huh. my dad, when Harry Potter came out, read the book to me every night before bed.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then when Star Wars came out, like episode 1, 2, 3, like during the pod racing, he would like in the theater, he put me on his lap. And, like, was pretending like I was in the pod racer doing the pod racing.
Aw, that's so nice. See, I feel like your parents' nerd levels is the complete opposite of mine. I didn't watch Lord of the Rings or Star Wars or anything like that until, like, I was in college being influenced by my friends because my parents were not nerds at all. So that's really fun.
Yeah.
I'm living through you, your experiences.
Yeah. I watched my dad play a lot of Splinter Cell on Xbox.
See, I watched my dad play a lot of Halo. I know that Halo is something that mm-hmm. I wanted to bring up with you for
yeah.
sure. I have many
yeah.
questions for you about yeah. Halo, but so then I'll just go for it now. So during the Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, mm-hmm. stuff like that, how did anime get brought up? And then how did video games get brought up?
Yeah. So anime got brought up through like Sailor Moon and the VHSs and mm-hmm. I learned what anime was, and then I just went on YouTube to find what other shows were playing, and also Adult Swim used to have anime every night.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just wait every night to watch Bleach and Code Geass, and it was great.
What time did it come on for you?
I think it was like 10 uh-huh. or 11 p.m.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was pretty late.
Mine was like 11 too, and yeah. I was very much not allowed to watch TV at that time. Mm. So I would really try to put it down as low as humanly yeah. possible. My dad would still like Kool-Aid Man kick the door in and be like, hey.
Why are you awake?
Especially like when when your parents walk in and something that shouldn't be playing is playing. It was
no.
always like some weird
it was always
stuff.
The sus.
Yeah.
It was always like the sus here and there bits. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of Cowboy Bebop kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then what about video games?
Yeah.
Like, so your dad played Splinter Cell, and how did Halo come about? I know that's a huge fandom of yours.
I love Halo so much. Uh-huh. I'm really cool and chill about this. Anyways, I have two older siblings, and so my older brother, for Christmas one year, like pre-me, he got a Sega Genesis,
mm-hmm.
and so we just had that in the house. And so when I was a kid, I was like, what's this? Oh, Mortal Kombat is fun.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I like Lion King. This is cool. And I hate it because it's really difficult.
Uh-huh.
I hate
yes.
that game.
Yes.
And then my parents realized how much I also enjoyed games. And they're mm-hmm. like, Dreamcast just came out. Here's this. Mm-hmm. Xbox just came out. Merry Christmas. It came with Halo. And then my brother and I were just all night playing Halo.
Right.
It just like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the first shooter I ever played, and Same. It was simply the best.
Same. I agree.
Yeah.
I'm also a Halo kid. You know that. Yep. We know that about each other.
We played it together. we played 2 on Legendary?
I think it
was it 3?
I think it was was it Reach?
It wasn't Reach. It was either Reach. 2 or 3.
Okay, it must have been 3. It wasn't 2. 2 is the one I've played the least of.
2 is my favorite.
I have heard that from so many people, and it missed me. My dad loved Halo, the first Halo. Mm-hmm. I've told this story a couple of times, but I'm telling it again.
Yeah, I haven't heard it.
So my dad was very much like, he wanted to be the house in the neighborhood that everyone was excited to go to.
Hell,
like the party,
yeah.
The party on the block house. So when I was growing up, we had a little cul-de-sac and there was a bunch of kids everywhere. And my dad loved Halo and he got an Xbox and he got another Xbox and another copy of Halo. And what we would do was,
you had LAN parties.
We would have the LAN party, but we would we got the lime green Ethernet cable.
Yeah.
The tethering cable, and we would put one in one room and one in another room, and we would shut the door so that nobody could look on each other's screen. And my dad got very upset about that. My dad is like a large bald man from New York, very Italian, and he would be like, no screen looking, guys. So in order to prevent cheating, it's very important.
That's
we would
so
split the Xboxes between the rooms.
That's so real.
And we would like have like draft bowls. Like we would like line everybody up and we would pick captains and we would choose teams.
Hell
of Halo.
Yeah.
And we would play like tournaments.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I love Halo too, but I never played two that much for some reason. I don't know why. I played one a ton and then three a ton, but I just skipped two. I don't know.
Two? I don't know. I think the story is really cool campaign wise, but for multiplayer, I definitely played, I think, three the most also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three in Reach. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was like my like college days. So I played a lot in my dorm room.
Nice. Were you like also like the dorm gamer kid?
Yes,
that was me also.
Yes, I was
just like playing Dragon Age and Halo on my little tiny TV.
Yeah, it's funny too because I got in trouble because I had World of Warcraft and I had the like Battle.net client, you know, when it like first came out. And when I was updating WoW once, the P2P download of the Battle.net, like when it was updating WoW, triggered something in the college internet system where they were like, you're illegally downloading software. It was like they were flagging me for like pirating things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just downloading World of Warcraft.
You guys, it's not that deep.
It's not that deep.
There's not even pirates in the game.
Not this game. Yeah. So that was fun. So then that's kind of your backstory then, your origin story, your like nerd
origin story.
That's some
lore. That's some deep lore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So then you were kind of like ready. You went to your first con and you were like, this is for me.
Yeah, I was like already such a nerd, so into it. Like in high school, I was in the anime club. But like it didn't go very often because I was nervous that they didn't think that I was nerdy enough.
Oh, no.
I reverse bullied myself on that one. I was like, oh, God, I want to go to the anime club. But what if I don't know enough about it? And then I'm not accepted.
So you were scared of being a fake nerd.
I was scared of being a fake nerd.
Uh-huh.
I think it didn't help that I was also on the cheer squad. So I was like, they're going to especially think that I'm lying.
Wow. Best of both worlds. That's crazy. How did you juggle both of those things?
Oh, I don't know. Just along with theater and being in a band. You just
literally hit every you hit every high school group.
I like hit every high school group,
mm-hmm.
but still ate in my math teacher's classroom.
Wow.
Jack of all trades, friends of none.
I vibe with that a lot. So then when did your band start? Because I have this as a big bullet point of something really? That I wanted to ask you about. You were in a emo band?
Yeah, it was
tell the class about the emo band.
Back when I was in high school, I was in a post-hardcore pop punk emo band, and it started I think towards the end of my freshman year. I think some of my friends were like, hey, come to the show with us, there's local music. And I was like, wow, I love music. I go to Warped Tour every summer, it's the best. And so I went and I was like, yo, this is sick. And I met some other people there from a different high school, and then we became friends. And they were like, hey, do you play music? And I was like, I've been taking piano lessons almost my whole life. I do play music. They're like, be in our band. We're going to start one. And I was like, great, what do you need? They're like, we don't have a bassist. And I said, I guess I have to learn how to play the bass. And so I did.
But was that easy because you already knew how to read music?
Yeah, I knew how to read music and like piano. So I knew music theory. And then my dad's also a musician. He plays guitar. And so he was already teaching me guitar at the time. So I was like, it just has two less strings. I can do this. And so I learned bass, and then I ended up switching to keys, and then I eventually became the lead singer and screamer of the band, of the hardcore band, yippee!
And what was the band's name? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's My Last Friend.
My Last Friend?
Yeah, because if everything in the world like disappeared, our music would be your last friend. It's so deep. It's so deep. It's so...
How emo.
I know.
It's so good, though. I was also an emo kid. I always wanted... See, I feel like you were living my dreams because I always wanted to be like a screamo band singer and I just couldn't figure out how to do that with my throat. I tried really hard.
I can teach you. It's not too late. We can do it now.
I was watching YouTube videos in my room. Like, I can't do it.
No, though. Do it again. That was good.
No. Can't do this to me.
You went,
just to prove my point. So can you still do it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Probably.
Yeah?
It's been a while. I'm not going to do it right here.
Okay.
I need music. I need.
Like the hype of it all.
Oh my God.
The vibes.
Maybe like 10 shots of vodka. Just kidding. I hate vodka. Don't ever give me that. I would sooner die.
But you like tequila.
I love
You're
tequila.
You're a tequila person.
I am. I just love tequila. My family and I, when we went to Mexico, we took a whole class on like how it was made and stuff. And then now every New Year's, we throw a tequila tasting party where my parents will get like 10 really nice bottles of tequila, like very, very bougie. And we each get to pick one, and then we have to like do a PowerPoint presentation, kind of like, this is how it's made. This is where it's from. This is what it tastes good with. And then we like will sip it while each person's giving a thing, and then we rank them at the end.
Cute.
But we're like also like obliterated.
Yeah, I was going to say, tequila
really fun.
Is the one thing that I can't drink unless I am very, like my mental fortitude is at an all-time high. Tequila is my drunk college story.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Mine was whiskey. No. Scotch. Scotch.
Mm.
Yeah.
What happened? TLDR.
TLDR. I have a fun picture of me passed out on the toilet. I was just at my house. It was just like me and a friend.
Oh,
like it was nothing crazy.
So
I was just at home. My dad comes downstairs, sees me pass on like on the toilet. He takes a picture to make fun of me later.
Amazing. Mine was a little less wholesome than that. It was about underage drinking at a bar and throwing up on a cop. Going to the hospital.
Danielle.
That's a story for another day.
Oh my God. Danielle.
That's a story for another day. And then I didn't tell my parents either. They got billed. They got like a $2,500 hospital bill or something to their house. My dad was like, what is this?
Just a casual $2,500 bill?
What happened?
Why did
you
tell
the hospital? I told them the truth.
Hell yeah.
I was like, there's one thing about Italians from New York, you cannot lie. Anything is better than lying.
Like, nice.
Lying is the worst thing you could possibly do. You'll burn at the stake. So I was like, this is what happened. Sorry.
My bad.
My apologies. Anyway, enough about me. Your parents were nerdy. You grew up doing all kinds of nerdy things, playing games, watching anime. You went to a Star Wars convention. You wanted to cosplay. What happened next? Like, how did you cosplayed for a long time after that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started going to cons and making friends with people. The first friend that I made in the community was Hendo.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that so much.
It was so fun. I was at WonderCon, but when it was at the LA Convention Center, I was dressed as a post-apocalyptic Cubone. And I was just like walking around, and all of a sudden I see this little Suicune run up to me. And she was like, "Hey, come over here. There's a bunch of Pokemon cosplayers. We're taking a group photo."
Aww.
And I was like, "Okay, I don't know anyone here." And I was like, "Is this okay? Am I cool enough for this?" And then I ran over, and it was just a huge wall of people, all dressed as Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And that was freaking awesome. And mm-hmm. then I met some people there, and then met friends. And then with those friends, started just doing more. I think that if I hadn't had such a good experience meeting new people there mm-hmm. and like similar-minded nerds, I don't know if I would have continued.
Yeah.
So it was like really cool experiencing that like familyness of the nerd community that I'd never experienced before.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think like cosplay, at least for me, kind of gave me an opportunity to connect with people who love the same thing as mm-hmm. I do. And that was really exciting because I have always sort of floated between yep. social groups, yep. similarly to how you're talking about. And that's what like really drew me to it as well. Did you ever have an experience where you cosplayed something and the fandom was just so stoked that you just had like the best time ever? Because for me, that was Dragon Ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, when I made Kat from Halo Reach,
mm-hmm.
I feel like people were really stoked. And it was really cool to be, for people to be like, "Wait, is that Kat?" And I was like, "It is Kat. It's mm-hmm. not Blue Master Chief. Everyone else calling me Blue Master Chief.
Not Blue Master
Please.
Chief.
Please."
Was that – so I have a – I phoned some friends for some tea, some deep Kate lore. And I heard a story about somebody – about you cosplaying from Halo and somebody coming up to try to hit on you and then getting the lore all wrong and you nerd-checking the hell out of them. Is that when you were cosplaying?
So I wasn't cosplaying.
Oh, okay.
At that. That was at a TwitchCon.
Okay.
And so I was – I'll set the scene.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
Rooftop bar. A little drizzle. San Diego. Mm. I had just had gin for the first time. It was wonderful.
That's my favorite.
It's
liquor.
So good. So good. It's so good. Tastes like potpourri.
Yes.
Ugh, the best. Anyways, yes. I just had gin for the first time. Light drizzle. I'm there with a friend. Uh-huh. This guy comes up to me. "Hey, ladies. What are you guys doing here?" And we're like, "Oh, we're here for TwitchCon because this is a TwitchCon party thing happening here." He's like, "Oh, I don't know what that is. Can you explain to me?" It was like a, like some guy who was just at the bar.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Okay.
Right. And I was like, "Hey, so Twitch is this. You play video games or like, do you like you live stream? I do video games." He's like, "Oh yeah, you like video games? What kind of games?"
And oh,
I was
no.
Like, I was like, "Well, currently I'm playing through Halo." He's like, "Oh, I love Halo." And I was like, "Yeah, which one's your favorite? Like, because I have a lot of strong feelings about this." Mm-hmm. Like, this is so exciting to talk to someone about
yeah.
this.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And he was like, "I don't know. I just like, I think that the second boss in like Halo 1. And I was like, I couldn't stop myself. I started hysterically laughing in his face. I was like, "What do you mean, boss? I mean, I guess there are like kind of boss fights, but no one says boss fight in Halo. Like, that's not really a thing."
Wait.
And so I started laughing in his face and
that's
I said,
so
"Sir." I was like, "Sir, that doesn't exist." And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Explain to me then." And then he got very flustered and left.
Wow.
But good I felt so bad just laughing in his face. I actually felt terrible after. I was like, "Wait, maybe that was too mean," but I couldn't help it.
Okay, but
because I've been fact checked too many times.
I was gonna say
I've been fact checked too many times.
I feel like especially in cosplay, like we get the like a whole internet's like, "Tell me 10 facts about Harley Quinn right
Dude,
now."
Literally, I was at a con once and I was dressed in my Fallout like pinup dress.
Mm-hmm.
And someone came up to me and they're like, "What are you cosplaying from?" And I was like, "Fallout." And I was like, "Fallout." And I had my Pip-Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking literally Pip-Boy watch. Check it.
It's so cute.
Anyways, I love that. Anyways. He's like, "What are you cosplaying from?" I was like, "Fallout." He was like, "Yeah, can you tell me what special is?" And I was like, I listed all the things. I was like, "Okay, strength, perception." And I was like, "Okay, I like to take the Black Widow thing in charisma. That way I can kill men more easily."
What a good comeback.
And he was like, "Oh." And I was like, "Yeah. I know, like, even the little
Yeah.
Sorry, microphone. It's not you. I don't mean to take my aggression out of it. Anyways.
Doing great.
Doing a great job.
Good. I feel like don't feel bad. The revenge should feel sweet.
It's really nice.
Karmic revenge. You get to do it one time. I feel like we deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
We deserve one nerd check on someone else for the amount of times that we
yes,
get it.
Constantly just laughing out loud in a man's face on the rooftop of a bar. It felt really good.
Good. I love that. I wish I was there. Sad I wasn't. But so then you were cosplaying, back on track, you were cosplaying mm-hmm. from Reach.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that was a fandom that you were really excited to cosplay from.
Yeah.
Because
people were so excited.
Really nice.
People were so nice and they were so excited to see it. And then I met a bunch of other Halo cosplayers and it was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy that Henda was your very first friend in the cosplay community because Henda was also your maid of honor.
Yeah, she was one of the bridesmaids, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had a man of honor. I had my brother.
Oh, my bad. Henda was your bridesmaid who mm-hmm. was like doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cute. So cosplay, like, I don't know, created those amazing friendships.
Yeah, it creates
for you.
Like lifelong friendships for real life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, I mean, look at us.
I know.
I think you're pretty cool.
I think you're pretty cool.
Swag even. I think you're pretty swag.
We're going to do escape rooms after this.
Yes, we are. And you're going to invite me to them. I had a dream about Danielle last night.
I would never do this. For the record to show.
The record shows you would never do this. But in
what
my
did I
dream,
do dream
last
Kate?
Night, Danielle, I had planned a birthday like event for myself because it was my birthday in my dream. And we were all going to go do this escape room. And then all of a sudden, everyone starts backing out because Danielle booked a different escape room and was taking everyone else there. And John and I weren't invited. So hurt. I was like crying in my dream. And then I woke up and I still had those emotions. And I was like, and then instantly I was like, wait, Danielle would never. This is not real.
I'd love to break this down because not only would I never do that.
No, you would not.
Also, nobody would ditch your birthday thing for some random escape room that I picked. Like, hey guys, I know it's Kate's birthday, but you should do my thing, my arbitrary thing instead. Nobody would do that. But I also would never do that. Just so
no,
you know.
I know that you would never do that. Okay. Asleep me is like my innie. My innie is uh-huh. like the worst. They're so mean to me. And then I wake up and I'm like,
fuck that guy.
Danielle loves me.
Yeah, I would never do that.
No,
that's
would
horrible.
Not.
But it's crazy when you wake up from a dream and you feel
you
like
the
dream
emotions.
Was real. Every mm-hmm. now and then when that happens, it's like, oh my God, I have to like talk to someone about
yeah,
this.
It's exhausting. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, I more often than not have really vivid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so every morning when I wake up, John's my husband, by the way, I like roll over to him. I'm like, he's like, okay, what happened last night? What happened in your dream? And I just give him, I spill all the tea of everything that happened because they're always so dramatic.
Are they good sometimes? Are they usually stressful?
They're usually stressful.
Okay.
It's exhausting. I don't get good rest. Maybe I should go back to therapy.
We can absolutely talk about that. We should unpack that.
Okay.
Later. During the escape room.
During the escape room,
we should, yeah. Talk through our traumas during
that'd be
the escape
so fun.
Room so that the guy
yeah,
can
so
hear
yeah, so the guy
us.
Is like, okay. I don't know. The last escape room we did, the guy was at the end was like, I'm going to remember this room for a long time.
Yeah,
what did that mean? What did that mean?
I don't know. It was very ominous.
I mean, I guess we're funny, but.
Yeah.
I think it's because we were in character while we did the escape room.
Yeah, probably. I feel like escape rooms are not my best comedic work, I find. Like, I'm trying to get the job done in, like, a mildly stressful way.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? I'm having a great time,
yeah.
But, like, in, like, a...
You sweat.
Okay, we're locking in. Yeah. So whenever people say stuff like that afterward, I'm like, oh, no.
I'm like, are you sure?
Okay. Well, so you... talked about cosplay,
mm-hmm.
We talked about music, You mentioned briefly that you did theater and acting mm-hmm. growing up. Like, what kind of did you do, like singing, acting? Like, what did you do in theater? I don't know a lot about theater, so I need you to kind of like walk me through the process.
I did it all. So I started doing theater when I was in kindergarten. I did mm-hmm. community theater, and it was like almost always musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so like from kindergarten through senior year, I just did like every play that I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. my junior year of high school, I was the lead in Bye Bye Birdie. What's up?
Wow. Uh-huh.
And then that teacher left, and the teacher senior year hated me and didn't cast me.
Wow.
We actually had beef. It was actually crazy.
You had beef with the teacher?
Beef with the teacher.
Wait, why?
Because I think the teacher listened to some of the other like kids that were in my class,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't like me. Like, there was this one girl who I did theater with, and I thought we were cool. And I knew that she was a better singer than me. Like, that was never a question.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of senior year, she was like, I always saw you as my rival. I was like, ain't no way this is real life.
Like High School Musical
it
style?
It was like High School Musical style. And then like she had the teacher's ear. And then so then the teacher didn't like me because she and I were obviously rivals when I thought we were friends the whole time.
Don't you hate that?
It's so fun. And I told her, I was like, hey, man, we were never rivals. You're so talented. You're clearly better than me. I don't understand why you thought this, but thanks, I guess, for thinking that I was good enough to be a rival.
That's true. That is a compliment. So they didn't cast you at all?
No. I was the lead to not even in chorus.
Wow. Oh, my God.
It's okay. I was busy anyways. I was busy doing band stuff and cheerleading.
Does that count as – I mean, you took how many years of theater?
Of theater?
Yeah.
Many.
Many,
many,
lots.
Many, many, lots, lots.
So you're
lots.
An actor.
I'm an actor. Yeah, the little
very
mustache.
Very comfortable in that space.
Yeah, I think so.
So then what, so you've been doing cosplay for?
Since 2015.
10 years?
Yeah.
I said that to someone at a con the other day, and he said, oh, I was 10 years old. Hi guys, I hate this. Hey guys, Hi guys, I just wanted to let you know that if you are enjoying yourself, we have a ton of extra content and extra goodies on Patreon. That wasn't bad. I don't remember my lines. Each extra episode has a little bit more personal, a little bit spicier content extra monthly videos, BTS content, and submit questions for our guests. Additional tiers get something that I just said, and I don't remember. God damn it. And we even have these collectible signed Polaroids that all of our guests do something with. Should I just keep starting from the top? Can I do a Disney Channel?
Yeah.
Why is this so hard? Be sure to check out... Oh, it's that short. Okay. Be sure to check out patreon.com/dressdownpod where you can see all that stuff that I mentioned earlier that I remembered and did on the first take. Now, back to our show. Yeah, I really have always wanted to do that. He said, oh, I was 10 years old. That really, I had to take the knife out. I was like, oh my God. Okay.
Oh.
So not to take you down with me, but.
No, I'm going down with a sinking ship. It's fine.
So you've been doing cosplay for 10 years.
Yeah.
You met incredible people, some of which were bridesmaids in mm-hmm. your wedding. You are now transitioning to more streaming and voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start streaming?
So I started streaming pretty much the same time that I started cosplay.
Oh, really?
I just full sent into all of it.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine that was in like some of my college classes with me,
mm-hmm.
he was like, hey, you're a nerd, you play video games, and you're funny. you should look at Twitch. And I was like, what's this?
Uh-huh.
Then he showed me and I was like, oh, that looks fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually in 3 weeks or 2 weeks maybe, I don't remember, sometime this month, is the 10-year streamiversary from the first time I ever streamed.
No way.
Where I played League of Legends on a MacBook.
I also started with League of Legends.
What is
so
that?
Funny.
What is that? Why do we do that?
Like, we lead such parallel lives. So, are you going to do anything exciting?
Yeah, I'm going to do a subathon thing for that. I'm going to play League.
Hell yeah. Back to our roots.
Back to the roots. But I probably only play ARAM. I can only go in.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that. What's a Baron? What's a Dragon? I don't know these things.
Yeah.
I got 2 brain cells.
Changed so much. I don't know what's going on anymore. So did you start off streaming by playing games then? Or did you do cosplay on stream ever, or how did that go?
I didn't really cosplay much on stream. I think I did a few times, but it was pretty much just always games. I started with League, and then that didn't work out well because I killed my MacBook. My MacBook died trying to stream like off of OBS and play League. My MacBook said, I'm actually not going to turn back on again.
It
said,
I'm
out.
Oh my God.
It's a piece. And so I had to stream off of my Xbox. Did you know you can stream on an Xbox?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would plug my Kinect in
and
I would stream off of my Xbox in the sorority house where I was living.
Stop. That's so funny.
Yeah. There's like a clip of me playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
In your sorority
house? In my sorority room.
That's amazing. So you started streaming and you've only played games.
Yeah. I think I've done like a few, like IRL streams at Disneyland. I was doing that for a while I would say 95% gaming.
Is there any particular game or a few games that you can remember that were like your favorite to play on stream that were like specifically memorable?
Yeah. Playing Halo with you. Oh my God. So cute. But not gonna lie, that was actually so fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah. I think playing through the Halo games was so fun, especially when I got to do it with friends. And have you played Outer Wilds?
I haven't, but I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah. Outer Wilds is such a crazy game. Like, I don't even want to talk about what it's about, but because it's like so crazy in the way that it unfolds, it's so fun to watch other people play it. And so when I streamed that, people were in my chat like, rooting for me, that who had never been there, who like just loved the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like such a cool experience to like have people who love a game so much. Mm-hmm. They want to experience other people experiencing it for the first time.
Yes.
I eat that up.
Yes. Passion is addicting.
Dude.
I think.
I'm like like I can siphon it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Same. I'm like, give me your energy.
That's how I feel about Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Did you play Resident Evil on stream?
I did. I played all the remakes on stream until, the newer ones.
Yeah. Those were that was my
yes
Outer Wilds then, because a lot of people were in there just because they liked the game, and I was so excited about that.
Oh my God, Leon,
a baddie. Ada, a baddie.
I want to dress John up as Leon so badly. When John works out, he has the same arms, and I'm like,
wait, John would be a great Leon.
I know. I know.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
Incredible. I love that so much. So then I love gaming too. I started streaming only making costumes, and then I took one day. I was like, maybe I'll just game for one day, and then maybe just 2 days. I'm only gonna game on stream. I love playing video games. So then you recently started doing voice acting stuff, and do you find that it is easier a transition after cosplay and acting and all of that stuff gives you kind of like a leg up on how you do things? How did you decide to do voice acting, and then how did all that stuff impact it?
Yeah, so I've always wanted to do voice acting, because obviously I grew up doing acting. I love it. And I like doing stupid voices. And everyone was always like, hey, you're good at stupid voices. Uh-huh. What if you like did that? And it was just always in the back of my mind, but never something that I was ready to put myself into, or I just didn't have the bandwidth or confidence, mm-hmm. honestly, is what it was. Mm-hmm. Until I decided to make my brain shut up. I was like, what if, shut up. What if we mm-hmm. just did it? What if now's the time? And I have some like friends who are voice actors. My husband, John, he's also a voice actor. And so mm-hmm. like hearing things from him and like that encouragement, I think helped me a lot mm-hmm. To make my brain shut up. And that transition has been awesome. I think that from like streaming and like having to talk all the time and like YouTube and stuff and having to record myself, mm-hmm. it's been a very comfortable transition. And mm-hmm. so now I'm just doing as many auditions as I can all mm-hmm. the time.
What is different about voice acting versus cosplaying? What is like the pros and the cons?
I don't have to wear makeup or pants.
Facts.
No pants. I hate wearing pants so much. So I'm wearing a dress right now. I hate pants. I don't know. It's just, it's different. I think for me, I mean, I cosplayed for a really long time, kind of took a break. I'm getting back into it now. I think being judged solely off of my appearance and like my ability to make things, mm-hmm. like it ended up being like less for me and what I was doing, less like, hey, I can make these really cool things. Look at my craftsmanship. Everyone was like, wow, you're ugly. Wow. Okay, schnoz. Okay. And I was like, oh, okay. Versus voice acting, like you're not judged solely based off of like what you're looking at. Like they're listening to the voice and the emotions that you're able to put behind it. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest difference.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
It's healing almost.
Yes. It's really nice.
Be behind like the veil of, mm-hmm. and not have to have your video on and not have to worry about what you look like. Mm-hmm. It's been nice for me as well.
Yeah. It like resets your brain. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm valued for more than just this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice.
Talk to us about some of the things that you've booked so far, if you can. I know that you've booked some jobs.
Yeah. I've booked a few things. One of them is a game called Carrot Commotion that is hopefully coming out soon. So play that game. It's on Steam. It's going to be super cool and swag when it's out. And you have to guess who I am. I'm not going to say who I am.
Okay.
Okay. And then I booked do you know the anime Erased?
It sounds really familiar, but yeah. Not off the top of my head.
There's like a fan dub like spoof that I was cast for, and so nice. I'm really excited for that to come out because mm-hmm. it's gonna be Unhinged. And then I was also cast for a student film project for this girl. It's her, I think, her master's project. It's like an animation comic book thing based off of a D&D game that them and their like friends played. Mm-hmm. And so I get to be one of the characters in that.
Oh my God, fun. Yeah. That's so cool. What mm-hmm. kind of character is it?
The character that I play is like, her name is Tia, and she's very kind of like reserved and sweet and quiet. But it's also because all of maybe the bad things that were happening there might be due to her time powers. And oopsie, did I reset the timeline again?
Okay. Kind of Flash-esque
yeah.
in that
Yeah,
in
but
that
she's
regard.
She's very sweet.
Do you enjoy doing like a specific thing more than others? Like, do you like being a villain or like the little boy or like anything? Or do you like it all equally?
I think I like it all equally.
Okay.
I think that every time I think I like a specific thing the most, mm-hmm. I audition for something completely different. And I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, I didn't know I could do that. Mm-hmm. And then I start doing that more, mm-hmm. like leaning into that until that gets like perfected. And mm-hmm. I think that I just like hyper fixate on different voices to try to perfect them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. kind of agree, except I've realized that when you did like theater and acting growing up, did you like learn projection and like all of that stuff? I am so soft-spoken, I would say, in my normal life that when nobody can hear me ever. Like, I always have to repeat myself. So doing voice acting now, I have realized that what I love doing the most is, like, villains who, like, yell.
You're such a good villain.
Thank you.
Okay, not gonna lie. Okay, I stalk you sometimes. I stalk you sometimes and listen to your auditions.
Really?
I do.
I started doing them all public. You remember the last time we talked about it? I was like, why can't I have them all set to private so nobody can hear them.
Yes, the last ones that you did, there's this one villain voice that you did. I played it and I was just floored. It was so good. You are so really? Good at doing the unhinged villain, like, scream laugh.
It's that, like, is what I like the most.
It's, like, so, because you are, like, so soft-spoken, like, hearing you, like, unlock is the best. It was really cool.
Thank you. That's very nice. I'm going to ask you which one it is later.
Yeah.
It's almost as if, because when I feel as though when you are thinking really hard about what to do, it never comes off authentic, right? Like the audition. But I find myself thinking very hard about my projection while I'm trying to do things. And then I'm thinking too hard about the projection and not enough feeling is coming through. But when it's like, you're just screaming, I'm like, I'm just screaming. And then I don't think about it at all. And that seems to be what I get booked for the most lately. So
I love that. I feel like you really let yourself go, and that's not easy for people to do. So that's awesome that you're able to do that.
Thanks. It's been very fun. I'm very excited for both of us. I feel like I'm excited that we're doing it at the same time. I feel like what gave me the confidence to even start trying to do something was because you started doing it and you gave me all the resources that you were using. So thank you for that.
Oh, that's really nice.
I have always wanted to do something along the lines of like acting, voice acting, something, but I did a bunch of like commercial auditions when I was a child, like on camera auditions.
Nice.
And the way that the industry is wild. Like, it was, I don't even like think about it that often because I forget that it even happened, because there was so many like, you're, I don't know, 13, but you're not enough of this and that. And I don't know. It was just, it was so pressure cooker style. And being in cosplay and worrying about what you look like so much, I was less excited about doing any sort of transitioning to on-camera acting, because I'm like, this is just more of me picking apart what I look like and being very, like, I don't know, concerned about what I look like. But then when you were like, I'm doing voice acting, I'm taking this class, and you linked it to me, I was like, oh, that actually sounds so fun. And then, so thank you for that. Yeah, I feel like you really kicked me off the cliff in a good way.
Good. I'll Sparta kick you any day, baby.
Thanks. but you also are like crushing YouTube as well.
Thanks.
Like, I remember I saw your YouTube channel and I would watch the videos every now and then. I want to support you. And I remember you like shot up out of nowhere, at least to me, because I checked it one day and then I feel like I checked it one day and you were at like 200k subscribers on YouTube, which is amazing.
Thanks.
So cool. What started you into like YouTube stuff? What kind of content are you making, etc.?
So my YouTube journey started when COVID happened. I was doing streaming and all that. And then a friend of mine was like, hey, have you tried YouTube yet? And I was like, no. And he was like, maybe you should try it. I think that you'd be good at it. Mm-hmm. You like have a great like humor, like when you stream and stuff, like, and also you used to be a teacher. And so you know how to like speak to certain audiences and be funny. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dang, you're right. And so I started making YouTube content kind of catered towards a younger audience. Mm-hmm. So very much like the Among Us, Minecraft, Roblox type content. Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually trying to shift that to more, to be more of a horror game focused channel. So like a lot of the mascot horror games, like like Poppy Playtime or Five Nights at Freddy's, Mince Hints, stuff like that.
Can you talk about that yet or no? Okay.
Mm-mm.
Everyone should go watch Kate on Twitch and see some cool stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Soon. What horror games have you been playing lately? What are you excited about? I saw you played My Side, or Me Side. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Me Side. I also don't know. I auditioned for it.
Did you?
Yeah, they have like an open audition on Twitter.
Oh.
I think they already cast it, so didn't get it. But it was still fun to audition for. So it was cool to play the game and then see the lines that were like specifically the audition lines for it.
Yeah.
But that game was so fun.
It was fun.
It was so good.
I played it as well on stream. I streamed it a little bit.
Did you do all the voices for it?
No.
Why not?
No, I'm so shy and nervous and scared.
No, do all the voices. You're so good. You're so good. I feel like your evil villain voice would be so good for Mita, like the main girl.
Thanks. I don't know how to take a compliment, so I'm just going to keep taking faces.
Take the compliment.
But thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm a villain in a game on Steam called Gravewatch that's going to come out this year. And I'm really excited about it because
Gravewatch?
Yes.
If you're not putting this on your wish list right now.
It's a horror game. And
what?
It's a horror game where you either play as, it's a couple. You either play as the man or the woman.
Stop.
And they're two different stories depending on who you play as.
Graveside?
Gravewatch.
Gravewatch. Oh my God.
It's a scary game where they're investigating like some weird horror culty stuff and
added to wish list.
I am her name is the mother and I'm in the end.
Okay,
and
mommy.
I'm actually really excited about it
because
I think I did a really good job.
Yay!
Based on the skill set I have right now.
Oh my God. I cannot wait to play that.
Thanks.
I'm really excited.
I'm so excited to play it too. Especially because that was a lot of yelling. It was a lot of like, you know, like the you dumb protagonist type of stuff. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
I didn't sign anything, but I feel like I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for both of us.
Same.
We're doing it.
We're doing the things. Yeah. We're in games and stuff. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So soon, too. I feel like we're both crushing it.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. And I think that's a testament to our hard work and dedication.
Yeah.
You full sent.
Yeah, I did.
John and I were talking about this. We were like, damn, Danielle full sent.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you have like a whole booth and everything now?
I did. I bought a booth. Well, because I took an improv class with a guy named June Yoon, who is incredible.
I want to take
just the greatest, nicest, most amazing guy. I kept telling everybody that he reminded me of like Uncle Iroh, where he was just
wholesome.
Like jolly and happy and I don't know, kind and insightful, just like the greatest guy. And he has like one-on-one coaching, and so I got a like one-on-one consult from him after the class ended. And he just, I was like, how do I succeed? Like, what do I do for the next year? Like, what do I focus on? And he was like, if you want to be taken seriously at all, you need better gear. So I was like, okay.
Say less.
And he gave me a list of stuff to buy, and I just bought it all. I was okay.
That's awesome.
You told me what to do. I'm doing it. And it also was easier to justify because, like, you can probably attest with cosplay, everything is so expensive. It's one of the most expensive hobbies/jobs you could possibly have because you're constantly buying materials. Everything's so specific. You know, sewing machines, warbler, foam, like everything adds up. And with the voice acting, it was like, oh, you're telling me I just have to buy this stuff once?
Yeah.
And it's over? Yeah, okay, sure.
That's way better.
Yeah. But he also was like, if you are planning on doing it like seriously, mm-hmm. if you have your gear list and it is like not the like good gear, yeah. people are like, oh, like you're not serious about it. So it's like, that's what you need to do.
Nice. First. That's so smart.
I was like, okay, whatever you say, mm-hmm. I trust you. Just a really, really great guy. Have you, you haven't taken any of his classes, right?
No, I really want to. I want to take the improv class. I love improv.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things.
It's ever. Very fun. Improv scared the living hell out of me. I'm just a shy person in general.
Yeah.
And improv is probably the scariest thing I could have taken first, honestly.
That's good that you took it then.
That's kind of my, I was, it was my, don't think, just do it.
Good.
Yeah. Terrifying, but fun. But good. Terrifying.
If you like this video, don't forget to hit the I'm a professional talker, speaker, yapper. Hit the subscribe button and the bell for notifications. Do you think this video is cool and swag? Hit that like button. Do you want to see more videos like this? Comment. Oh, dear God, please, please, please. I'll simply die if you don't put another video up. Danielle, I want to dress down every day. I want to listen to all of these yap sessions. It's so much fun. I need that whole comment. Thank you.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so we're talking a lot about your fandoms, your nerd upbringings, your lore mm-hmm. in general. Where does D&D fit into this? When did D&D come about?
D&D. So when I was in college, I had a group of friends that it's really weird. So I knew them in high school, but we didn't become friends until college. Mm-hmm. And then in college, they were like, hey, so Wizards of the Coast exists. Mm-hmm. And I was like, explain. And they're like, here's Magic the Gathering. Here's Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. We bequeath this information to you. And I was hooked. And so I started playing D&D in 2012 with them. I started with 3.5 and I simply was hooked immediately. So like I already love fantasy worlds, mm-hmm. obviously, but also I love acting in improv. And so you're trying to
all
tell me that I can like act in improv and create a world with you. I've only ever played homebrew also. I've never mm-hmm. played an actual mm-hmm. like game, mm-hmm. like written game. So mm-hmm. it's I was just hooked. It was, I got to do all the things that I like. D&D's the best.
Is there, what was your first campaign like? And what campaigns have you done that were exciting to you since you started?
The first one I ever did, my friend did a homebrew and it was my first time playing and I was like a little nervous. And so another one of my friends was like, hey, I'm playing this character. What are you playing? He was like, I'm going to be an elf rogue. And I was like, well, I wanted to be a half elf rogue. And he was like, oh, what if we were siblings? And I was okay. like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. What if we were siblings? Uh-huh. And so it was really nice to have that thing to rely on, to like have him to bounce things off of as like my sibling. And of course we did like this tragic backstory as you do, mm-hmm. like parents dead. We're half siblings. Mm-hmm. We're on the run mm-hmm. with an organization who taught us how to be rogues. Mm-hmm. And so I was an arcane trickster and that's like my comfort class. And so in my next campaign, which our friend Eric DM'd, I played an arcane trickster again mm-hmm. and her name was Nefira uh-huh. and she had a snake familiar and I loved that character so much that I got a snake in real life and named my snake Nefira.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, cute. Mm-hmm. Why do you like arcane tricksters so much? About it is exciting.
Well, sneak attack damage. Whoa. I got to throw down so many D6s. So I'm also very much, I feel like a half caster in real life also, mm-hmm. much like the arcane trickster where you get to do up close stab damage. Like I always use daggers, but also you get to use magic and do that. So that definitely spoke to me. And then my next camp, big campaign after that was with minus one charisma, which is like a stream group that I'm a part of. And so we streamed D&D. That campaign is finished. First campaign I ever finished was that campaign, which is crazy. But I was like, I'm not going to play an arcane trickster this time. I'll be so different. I'm going to play a Way of the Shadow Monk, which is basically the same thing.
The same thing I was going to say. It sounds like the
same thing. I was like, I'm going to be so different. I'm going to play Way of the Shadow Monk. And then I played Pup. And I played this character named Pup, who was a changeling. And that character meant so much to me.
Why?
I think that through playing Pup, I came to terms with being Envy.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
how so?
So because Pup was a changeling, they didn't have like gender because they can just transform into literally anyone and anything. And like we had a bit where like they would like change private parts like... to do like whatever, like they were dumb, like very low intelligence character, grew up in a forest, raised by wolves. I didn't want a backstory, so I was like, hey DM, I'm not gonna have a backstory. I don't want one. Do have fun with me. Like that seems cool.
Okay.
I was like, I want to be a happy-go-lucky kid, and I want to see how the world shapes me as like a actor improv thing. I was like, I want to see how my character can develop through what we experience. And in playing and hearing those they thems, I was like, oh, I kind of like this. Wait, I kind of like this for me in real life. And that was like a huge, like, eye-opening thing. It's like something that I was already feeling. But then, like, hearing myself referred to as that, I was like, oh, that's the one. This is the one. And I think Pup did that for me, which is huge.
Wow. That's incredible. That's so – it's – amazing what D&D and like all this stuff can do. I feel,
dude, it like affects your real life so much. And then also, let's be so for real, those backstories, you're working through your own personal trauma.
Always.
DMs do not get enough credit for being unpaid therapists.
Truly, actually.
DMs are unpaid therapists,
truly. Hoarding everybody's trauma together and like keeping them on track.
Literally, it's like, okay, what fireside chat are we gonna have tonight while we're taking watch? Who, what character is gonna be venting to who? What therapy session are we having?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my daddy issues. Oh my god. Oh, that's amazing. Do you have any tips for D&D, like new people who have never done D&D before who want to try it and feel like overwhelmed by it?
Yeah. I feel like finding, like if you're feeling overwhelmed, that's totally fair. I feel like a lot of people get overwhelmed with the math. Use D&D Beyond. It's just, it does all the math for you. You never have to think about it. It's awesome. That way, like that pressure's taken off, but like also just do it. You're playing pretend. Like you can't do, you can't play pretend wrong. And if, as long as you're like, if you have that fire to play, like you don't need anything else. And if you have honestly a good DM and good friends that you're playing with, that's what's going to make the difference. Because I feel like people have bad experiences playing with people who want to play the game a specific way and not the way that you want to or are comfortable with. And finding people who have a similar play style where like, I don't care about the rules as much. Like, that is so important. Like, when I DM, one of my favorite things to do is when someone wants to do something stupid and, like, very much outside of what the rule set is, I'll be like, roll to persuade the DM. The DC is 15. Or, like, depending on how cool I think it is, I'll be like, the DC is this. I'm like, roll to persuade me to let you do that.
Is that considered the rule of cool?
What's the rule of cool?
I've heard that in various, like, D&D things before. Where the DM will allow you to do things that are against the rules it's
then
cool
yes.
enough for
yes.
the story.
Then yes, that is absolutely the same thing.
I don't know if that's actually what it,
no,
what the
I
real
like,
definition is.
I like what you're saying, though.
That's how I'm interpreting it when I hear it. D&D scares me because improv scares me, but it is always fun. It's never not fun.
Yeah, it's like... you just could be a silly, goofy guy. And if you are more shy, you can play a shy character. Just play a shy character. Play Kenku.
Right.
Play kangaroo who can only repeat what other people are saying. Then you have absolutely no pressure on you.
A bit. I love relying on a bit. Mm-hmm. It's just, it takes a lot of the pressure off, mm-hmm. at least for me. There was a chat of our friends that didn't have you in it because it was for your birthday. And I consulted them before our episode and asked them if there was anything specific that I should ask you. Mm-hmm. One of those questions was, what dice taste the best?
That's so real. They're so real for that. Oh my God. Yeah. So speaking of relying on a bit, I have this ongoing bit where I eat dice. I'll just put dice in my mouth. It's actually a problem. I'll put trinkets in my mouth, just period. It's not good. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think it's so funny.
Flashback to me not eating leftovers because I'm scared of germs.
Oh my God, I am the opposite. Yeah, I saw that. Amanda gets all your food. Yeah. I eat all your trinkets. She eats all your leftovers. I'll eat all your dice, your little thingamabobs.
Uh-huh.
I don't know when that started. I just will put things in my mouth, and now it's become a thing where that don't clip that. Now that's going to become it's become a thing where, like, if my friend's rolling badly, they'll be like, please bless my dice, and they'll hand it to me with just do it, and then I'll
bless. Do you roll it?
I do. I spit it out. I do.
Hell yeah.
I do that.
Does it work?
It's a lot of the time. I don't know why.
Does it work?
The universe is just like, this bit's funny. We're going to let it work. The universe has the rule of cool with me eating dice.
Good.
But which dice tastes the best?
Yeah. What color? What pattern?
Honestly, I'm thinking about my dice. Like I have like a lot of resin ones, which are just kind of, but like I have some really nice ones. Like I have labradorite and amethyst and like moonstone. Those are like more crunchy.
Get the organic earth in there. Yeah.
I will say that I have one dice that I have not eaten and I will never eat because it's made out of human bone. And that's weird.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. You know?
I will not be putting my Momentum Mori dice anywhere near me. I actually only use it to make death saves.
Does it? Have you been successful?
No, I rolled a one. Pup died.
Oh.
Never remember Pup? Yeah, him. They died, by the way.
Oh, them, sorry.
You're good.
You just explained that whole thing to me. Oh my God, that's poetic and horrible.
I know. It was really upsetting. And then I played a barbarian, which was fun, but I'll never play a barbarian again. I played, you know what's so, I'm so dumb. Speaking of voice acting and just throwing ourselves into things, after Pup died, so Pup had the voice where it was like this, where it was kind of like a little boy voice. I don't know. But then I decided after that, I was like, I'm going to do an Irish accent for this character. I've never done an Irish accent before, but I just watched Peaky Blinders.
Oh my God.
So I decided to make her Irish for some reason. And she was a bunny barbarian. She was Herringon. That was her race.
Uh-huh.
And I just decided to do an Irish accent for no damn reason. I was just bored.
I mean, good.
It was towards the end of like the whole thing. So I was like, okay, I'll just be Irish, I guess.
How was that?
Fun.
It sounds
scary. Because another character we had like two characters with like more English accents, but like different regions. Mm-hmm. And then here I came in with Irish and we all ended up stealing each other's accents when we were all having conversations and it was a nightmare. It was super fun.
That sounds fun. That's D&D is fun. It doesn't have to be scary. I'm telling this to myself.
It's not scary. Let me DM for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
I, for a charity event, raised money for To Write Love on Her Arms.
Oh,
my
awesome.
Opinion, Twola. Best ever. Yeah.
I love Twola.
And I auctioned off a D&D campaign with ponies, and I need to do it. I'm going to do it still. But I, the caveat is that I'm supposed to DM, which is terrifying.
Oh my gosh.
But also might be better for me because I kind of get to control where everything's going.
Yeah.
And it's not so scary. I don't know.
I can show you my one shots that I've written so that you can see like how actually not scary it is.
Okay.
I can walk you through it if you want some time.
I was going to do, well, I'm not going to say because I'm still going to do it, but I'll tell you off camera.
Okay. I gotta know the secrets and you don't hit the subscribe button to cry. Hit that like button if you're sad and jealous.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. Oh, I appreciate you sharing all of your stories with us.
Thanks for having
me. Before we transition to our Patreon segment, would you please plug your socials, your cosplay, regular, and then voice stuff, where we can find you in general?
You can find me literally anywhere on the internet as Hello, I Am Kate. That's my socials everywhere. It's also my website if you want to hear my demo. HelloIamKate.com.
I've heard it. It's great.
Yippee! Yeah, you can find me everywhere under that. On everything. Hee hee hee.
I also was told by our friends, specifically your husband, that you love anime.
Yes.
I would love for you to give me your top 10 anime characters.
Characters?
Of all time. And then we're going to do something fun with them.
Oh my God.